listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at kfai.org. Well, so am I.
Me too.
Filipino American National News is proud to have on our show Elias Brana joining our airwaves and also our viewers out there on Facebook as well. This past summer, I follow a lot of basketball, whether it be Filipino basketball, both in the U.S. and Canada, or just the pros. And I saw a Twitter post about you and saw that not familiar with this kid and doing the research that you're from Winnipeg, Canada. Yeah. How does a kid from Winnipeg, Canada wound up in Minneapolis, Minnesota to play basketball?
Well, it has always been a dream for me to come down to teach for basketball. It just happened that I played for the CAU team. I got an email from my dad and came down, and then we realized there's levels to this. And then my dad found out about Howard Elite, so then the next year following, I tried out for Howard Elite, played under them for junior EYBL, and then had an awesome season with them, and then following year, last year, I ended up with Howard Elite again.
That's the one thing that really impressed me, was seeing that you played for Howard Pulley. For our listeners that aren't familiar with Howard Pulley when it comes to the AAU scene, what kind of caliber of fellow basketball players are you playing with for Howard Pulley?
Howard Pulley, I consider like top of the top basketball, as it's a part of the UNBL, the Nike shoe circuit. and it brings like the best competition out there and all over the United States.
So you're living down here currently. What school are you attending here in Minnesota?
De La Salle.
De La Salle, also for our listeners and our viewers, is a very prestigious school, but very well known in their basketball program. They recently finished second in the Minnesota State basketball tournament the other day. What was it like playing for De La Salle this past season?
It was awesome. The experience was awesome. I actually ended up breaking my ankle in the summer, but I still came here. The coaches were awesome. The experience was awesome. The players, I learned a lot from different coaches and players. So I believe it elevated my game. Not only that I wasn't able to play, but I was able just to watch and see other people. And then towards the end of the season, I was getting back into it. I was playing more, I would say. Like, getting back on. Like, I was already on the court in around January. But then during the high school season, I started playing more around February, and it was awesome to play again.
And when did you start playing basketball?
Probably, I would say, when I was 5.
And, was it something that you initially got interested in?
Yeah, my dad actually influenced me to play basketball. Like, I was surrounded by a lot of basketball through my dad. I'd always follow him to his, like, men's league games, high school games with his coach. So he really influenced me on basketball.
I've heard a scouting report on you from from a friend, AJ Monton, who's from Winnipeg, Canada, as well. And when I asked him about your game, he says he has a high IQ point guard, sees the floor really well, a strong court general with the ability to get to the hoop and create opportunities for his teammates. Do you feel that's an accurate assessment of your game?
I feel like, thank you, Coach AJ. Yes, I feel like it's really accurate on my play style. I believe I'm not a selfish basketball player. I play the pure point guard role, especially with my height, as it's really part of my role. Looking for other players is just natural to me. And while having the ability to make way to the bucket and earn buckets off that.
Do you feel with you being Asian Pacific Islander, a ball player, that when you play other nationalities, when you go play in the Minnesota High School League or when you play on the AAU circuit, do you think they sleep on you because they don't expect you to, say, be a scorer or be a distributor at the ability that you are so far?
Honestly, I believe that too, because there's not that many Filipino or Asian basketball players, especially in the state of Minnesota, as it's predominant, the scene of basketball is predominantly Caucasian and African American. So I feel like whenever I step on the court and they see a short Asian, I feel like I get underestimated a lot. But to me, I feel like it's just a booster, and it helps me elevate my game better.
And for our listeners and viewers out there that aren't familiar, yes, Canada is really known for their hockey, but when it comes to basketball, it is an extremely big thing when it comes to the Filipino communities all throughout Canada. Can you describe what it's like growing up in that environment, that scene in Canada?
Yeah, I feel like I mentioned, my dad and his basketball leagues and stuff. I feel like it has a lot of influence on younger kids, especially in the East Coast. That's mainly where Filipino basketball happens, or the West Coast. I'm in the middle from Winnipeg, Manitoba, but there has, like, this probably the biggest population of Filipinos in Canada. I believe that because they always come together as a community. Filipinos come together as a community, so the leagues they build, I would say, like, has influence on a lot of people, a lot of Filipinos that play basketball.
What has the adjustment been for you as living in a different country and, say, academic-wise as compared to life in Winnipeg?
The adjustment, academic-wise, I went to a high school called St. Paul's High School before coming here, and I would say they were really right on, they were strict with academics. It was a private school, private Jesuit school. So my academics was already on point, I believe, and then coming down to a college prep school for academics, I feel like my transition was smooth, but as a person coming down here by myself, it was a bit challenging, I would say. I had my dad with me the time I was injured, which helped me a lot. But then around probably spring break, right before spring break, I was just on my own. I found it a bit lonely, a bit challenging, but with technology, I found it easier with communication with my family and my friends. So honestly, I think it's a really good experience.
So academically, what year are you at De La Salle?
I'm a junior.
A junior. When was it for you like a real turning point of saying, let me go outside of the bubble of playing back home in Winnipeg and trying to go play ball down here?
I would say my first year with Howard Collegiate at UIDL when I experienced the top tier competition of basketball, and it made me realize that there's more to basketball, and that if I really want to go far in basketball, I have to come down to the States with opportunities they present here. Not to shame Canada, but the United States has a big variety of schools, and the competition is way better out here in the States.
Do you see yourself as potentially a trailblazer to some of your fellow Canadians out there who play hoops, both boys and girls, that if they want to take their basketball journey / education journey to the next level, that potentially going to the States might be an option?
Yeah, I believe that'd be a trailblazer.
Outside of basketball, what do you do to unwind or have hobbies?
I play a lot of video games, I would say. Sometimes at home I play a lot of ping pong with my friends and my dad. I love biking, working out, but yeah, hanging out with friends. That's really all the hobby I do.
It's springtime, and one of the most important years for AAU is that junior year going into your senior year. What do you expect this spring and summer on your AAU season?
This spring and summer season, I'm hoping that I get more interest and offers probably from other schools, D3, JUCO, D2, hopefully maybe D1. But this year is really a turning point in my basketball career, I would say. So, yeah.
What was that process like? Choosing a school out here like De La Salle?
I thought it wasn't that challenging with my teammates and my coaches helping me out, finding what school I should attend. And then some of my teammates were suggesting De La Salle, and my coach went to De La Salle, so that I came to De La Salle, talked to Coach Sam, and ended up here.
You talked about the options post high school, JUCO, Division II, Division III, Division I. Is the Philippines a potential option for you?
Potentially. My dad really wants me to play in the Philippines after my college career. maybe so, might happen, but I'm actually hopefully playing for the QS Philippines if I'm able to.
Well, I mean, that'd be awesome, and we could say we had you on the show. And this will definitely go multi-viral. If that happens, you spoke of your dad. What has it been like having your dad be down here with you during this process of playing ball, going to school, and learning about a new city?
I feel like it's a blessing. I'm very thankful that my dad was with me throughout the journey, especially at times when I was injured, which I was probably, I was at my lowest, but it was really difficult, especially that I'm not on the court, as it's like, I feel basketball's like therapy to me. It's just like another home. So having my dad here was really, really, how would I think this? It was really awesome. It helped me get through things that we created a journey together. Yeah.
For our viewers and listeners that aren't familiar with the Filipino basketball scene out there, you said you've able to see your dad play immensely. You've seen him coach. What is it like playing against Filipinos up in Canada in those tournaments and on those teams?
I feel like it's such a different Filipinos play a different way than the other people here, but it really takes a lot of IQ, I would say. They play with a lot of IQ because of the height difference. So in order to get by, they have to use a lot of different maneuvers. I would say like their passing, it's just their overall way of play. Sometimes they're dirty, but they're very sneaky with it. So it's just in order just to get by. But it's I would say it's actually a little bit difficult, especially the way how smart they are. And yeah.
How have your friends back home and your family been receptive to this whole journey of yours in Minnesota?
Well, my family, it's a little bit hard on my family because we're all really close, I would say, especially my sister and my brother and my mom. So, with my friends, it's always a blessing every time I come back. They're always happy to see me. We always hang out probably almost every day. So, when I told them that I was moving, it was kind of hard on them, right? But they're really happy for me. They're proud of me.
Your dad can maybe answer this if he wants to join in, either from where he's sitting or coming in, if you want. To our listeners that don't know you, could you introduce yourself to?
Hi, my name is Angel Brannon. I'm the dad of Alice Brannon.
This is a big commitment level as a family. You have your wife and your other children back home in Canada. Mm-hmm. When did you think that this was a possibility, that at least for this son of yours, mm-hmm. that why not take the chance to come here? When did you start seeing this potential ability in your son?
For Elias?
Yeah.
And generally for my children. We have a painting on our wall. And it says, why not? It's always a potential. If the potential is there, we support it. We support your dream. I tell them I'm your dream supporter or in dream protector. And the potential, I saw it when you first played here for the AA for TC Takeover back in 2023. He played 2 years up. And I told him, I believe you could run with these boys. So at that point, we both spoke about him playing here, and we discussed as a family of him playing over here. First it was every summer, and then we started looking around and said, maybe we should find a way for you to go to school here. And then when we had the opportunity to go to school here in the fall. For him to go to school here in the fall last year. So.
I think with any child that excels, whether it be the arts, sports, music, is you need to have supportive parents that only not only push you but support that dream. And I think, at least in Minnesota, we talked about it's a little maybe different when it comes to basketball scene here in terms of what your son's been able to see in terms of other Filipinos playing that. It's a commitment level that I think people forget, whether it's academics and how much you put into your academics, is that if you want to reach a certain level of basketball, you have to put that work in. So I commend you for helping you help your son chase his dream, but also to push him, because I think sometimes with some Filipinos, if they don't get their way right away, then that's fine, you know, on to the next one. But the fact that you've been able to help push your son's dream and be there for your son when he gets hurt, because that's, as he said, that's a very lonely time when you get injured and you doubt, can you come back at the same level and all those things. What do you miss about not being home in Canada when you're down here as well? The family, I'm going to guess, is probably number one.
Sorry for being emotional.
Oh, no. No problem.
See, he's got a... He's got an older brother who's got autism. And, Elias is his best friend. So for us to be away from each other, for him to be away from his brother for a long period of time, I think it was a struggle at first. Because if you know my oldest son, his name is Kila, short for the Kila. The first person that he would always look for is his brother. And his form of validation, he would always look for his brother. So it was a struggle at first, but I always tell my kids, whether it's my daughter Naomi or Elias, we are your dream protectors. So if this is your journey, if this is your dream, we will protect, as parents, me and Catherine, Texas, we will protect your dream as much as we can. And if you tell us that no longer my dream, you don't have to protect my dream, then that's the direction that we're gonna go. So it was a struggle when he injured his ankle, because he had a ankle surgery. He has a plate and 6 bruises, and he never had an injury before. But people don't know that what the work that we did here in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, after practices in the afternoon, we are thankful for the Whittier Community Center, that they actually allowed us to play there. And we would do at least about 10 hours, with minimum of 6 hours every week, working out over there until as recent as December. And when we were down in Winnipeg, we would work out at least minimum of 10 hours a week, just for his dream, just for his journey. So the commitment, the level of commitment, and for all the parents that are thinking of having their daughter or their son to get involved in or protecting their kid's dream in this field is basketball. If you are committed, it can be done. It can really be done. So when we were in Winnipeg, just to give an example, we would drive almost every week, 7 hours each way, just for him to practice and play in the tournament. And we did that since 2023 up to last summer, 2025. And now, last year he moved. So now I think we're still doing it, because even though he's here, I'm the one who's doing just to watch his games over here. But yeah, it can be done. And thankfully that, you know, Howard Pulley allowed us to him practicing once a week on the Thursday and tournament on the weekend. And we would drive to, after their practice, we would drive to Iowa. 2024, we drove all the way to Chicago, Indianapolis, and Hamilton, Ohio, just for his tournaments. If your kids are committed and the parents are on board, I think, I believe it can be done. So.
And before we end the interview, if people want to follow your journey, is there any social media where they can follow you at, or or which team are you playing for? Howard Pulley again this summer?
Yeah, Howard Pulley or 17U Minnesota Heat here.
Okay. And I guess one other thing. I'm sure your dad's also a phenomenal cook. Is there some down home cooking from your mom that you missed eating regularly?
I'm not the cook.
Okay.
I'm the financer. I have my Instagram as well. I also post Ellis's pictures, journey, Coach Angel 68 on Instagram, and I do have my own basketball club in Winnipeg. It's called Summit Basketball Club in Winnipeg.
My Instagram is Ellis.Brana, ELIAS.BRANA, and my Twitter is the same thing, Ellis.Brana.
Oh, do you have a favorite dish from your mom? Both of you, your favorite dish from your wife?
From my mom, it would probably be the nilaga.
Nilaga, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, mine would be same thing, the nilaga or her sushi casserole.
Sushi casserole?
Yeah.
Filipinos, outside of loving basketball, mm-hmm. sometimes are known as singers and dancers. Do you fit one of the two?
I'm going to brag about my sister. My sister used to be a local celebrity in the band scene in the Philippines back then. She's a very good singer. So, not me.
Well, who's your sister for?
It's Alma Lizardo. Okay. Used to have a band back in the 90s and 2000s.
Well, you know, Filipino-American R&B was a very big thing back in the day here, whether it be Kai
those
groups.
Back in the
90s. Back in the 90s.
Yes, yes.
So I'd like to thank you both for being our guests on the Filipino-American National News. Continue to follow your journey wherever it takes you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
To tell.